Cultivate the Spirit of Service, President David O. McKay. David O. McKay, Conference Report, October 1962, pages 118-120. We are now nearing the close of a very remarkable conference, unusual in many respects. This conference has been directed primarily to an unseen audience, particularly yesterday morning and this Sunday morning. Usually we speak mainly to those who are assembled in this great tabernacle, but each speaker yesterday and today has been conscious of a listening audience that goes beyond this tabernacle and this city, this church, this country, into Europe, the South Seas, South Africa, and all this has been possible through the kindness of our television and radio officials, Brother Arch Madsen and his associates here at KSL, and through assistants and associates with him, and other leading officials, who are cooperating in efforts to bring this gospel to the people of the world. I wish to express appreciation to Brother James O. Conkling, who has just been appointed president of the International Educational Broadcasting Corporation. We asked him to take charge of a group of leading, influential men to bring into operation shortwave facilities by which conferences and other programs, with the assistance of our own tabernacle choir, originating here in Salt Lake City, could be transmitted across the waters. We wish to acknowledge in your presence today the inspiration of the Lord upon these leading men in the church, and many of whom are not in the church, who are giving their time and means towards the accomplishment of this great possibility of carrying the message of the restored gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. This has been one of the greatest conferences, I suppose, that we have ever held in the church. The music today, as you know, has been furnished by the Tabernacle Choir. We have been inspired by their singing at both sessions today and Saturday morning when their singing was heard by millions. Many radio and television stations have been open to us because of the singing of this great organization. Their contribution to our missionary work is inestimable. In July of this year, they participated in the first formal worldwide television program by way of Telstar satellite, held at Mount Rushmore in the Black Hills of South Dakota. At this time, the choir was seen and heard on television by millions across the ocean in Europe and England, in addition to the millions in this country. In August they made a tour of the Northwest, giving two concerts on August 15th and 16th at the Seattle World's Fair. People from all over the world attended these concerts, and it was reported that the concert hall was so crowded on both nights that many were turned away. We appreciate all who have furnished the singing throughout this conference. First, the singing for the Friday morning and afternoon sessions by the Relief Society Singing Mothers from the Central Idaho and Bannock Welfare Regions. We accept their efforts and are inspired by their singing, but very few of us ever stop to think of what those sisters did and the valuable services rendered by Sister Florence Jefferson Madsen in training them in such an excellent way. Then we had the music furnished on Saturday afternoon by the combined choirs of Brigham Young University, assisted by the brass choir. The male chorus and the combined male sections of Brigham Young University furnished the music for the general priesthood meeting Saturday evening. For you, I express appreciation and gratitude to all who have in any way contributed to the success and inspiration of this great conference. First, to the general authorities, we express deep appreciation for their inspired messages. To the public press, the reporters, for their fair and accurate reports throughout the sessions of the conference. For the cooperation of city officials, the city traffic officers who handled carefully and ably the increased traffic, the fire department and the Red Cross, who have been on hand to render assistance and service whenever and wherever such became necessary, the tabernacle ushers, who have rendered service quietly, courteously, and efficiently in seating the great audiences of these conference sessions. I wish that you, brethren, could leave this closing session of our semi-annual general conference with your hearts renewed with a firm desire to render service to your fellow men and to act in efficiency and prayerfulness in rendering service to those over whom you preside directly. It has been said that the race of mankind would perish if they ceased to aid one another. One man, from whom I quote, says that from the time that the mother binds the child's head until the moment that some kind assistant wipes the death damp from the brow of the dying, we cannot exist without mutual help. All, therefore, that need aid have a right to ask it from their fellow mortals. No one who holds the power of granting can refuse it without guilt. The church, with all its quorums and organizations, is God's plan for rendering mutual aid. The Melchizedek priesthood is power and authority vested in the Godhead and delegated to man for the progress, happiness, salvation, and exaltation of the human family. It is a principle of power by which the Church of Jesus Christ is organized and by which men to whom it is given may legitimately act in the name of the Lord. There are two conditions which should always be considered when the priesthood is to be given to anyone. The first of these is the individual's worthiness to receive it. The second is the service which he can render to the church and to his fellow men, men who are vessels of the holy priesthood, who are charged with words of eternal life to the world, should strive continually in their words and actions and daily deportment to do honor to the great dignity of their calling and office as ministers and representatives of the Most High. Whenever the priesthood is delegated to man, it is conferred upon him, not as a personal honor, although it becomes such as he honors it, but as authority to represent deity, and an obligation to assist the Lord in bringing to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. If priesthood meant only personal distinction or individual elevation, there would be no need of groups or quorums. The very existence of such groups, established by divine authorization, proclaims our dependence upon one another, the indispensable need of mutual help and assistance. We are social beings. There is a destiny which makes us brothers. None lives to himself alone. All that we give into the lives of others comes back into our own. This element of service and mutual help is emphasized by the Lord as follows: "Wherefore, be faithful, stand in the office which I have appointed unto you, succor the weak, lift up the hands which hang down, and strengthen the feeble knees." So says the Lord in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 81, verse 5. And again, "And if any man among you be strong in the spirit, let him take with him that is weak, that he may be edified in all meekness, that he may become strong also." It is an honor to labor with you, brethren and sisters, throughout the entire church. God bless you that you may realize the blessings that are yours through the revelation and restoration in this day and age of the world of the priesthood of God, which gives you authority to represent him in proclaiming the reality of the existence of the Father and his beloved Son Jesus Christ, and the restoration in this day of the gospel as given through Christ the Lord as the plan of salvation to all mankind, through obedience to which peace shall be established on earth, and the will of God carried forth to the salvation and exaltation of his children. With all the power the Lord has given his servants, I bless you, and pray that you will go forth with the spirit of service, honoring his name now and forever. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.